You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Good morning. It is time to get up with Tampa Tom, whose time may have come. We've never heard him say what he did yesterday. We'll tell you what it means. Then, speaking of uncertain futures, a very important person has something very important to say about Aaron Rodgers. You'll hear it right here. And after the disaster in Big D, there may suddenly be a solution sitting right in front of Jerry's face. We'll tell you why it would work as we get up with you, starting right now. This is going to be fun. Tuesday Dan is here and is ready to go.
Yeah!
Dominique is here. Jeff Saturday's handing out pancakes. And Marcus, we may need a special edition of You Need New Security. That's coming up in this hour, and Jeff's not happy about it. But we begin today with a story that could change everything. Tom Brady and his future. Sunday, after his team was eliminated from the playoffs, Brady remained non-committal about playing next year. Then yesterday, he went even farther talking about his future on the Let's Go podcast with Jim Gray. Give a listen.
The point is, there's no really rush for me to figure out what's next. You know, I'll know when I know. My wife is my biggest supporter. It pains her to see me get hit out there. And, you know, she deserves what she needs from me as a husband. My kids deserve what they need from me as a dad. It's not always what I want. It's what we want as a family. And, you know, I'm going to spend a lot of time with them and, you know, figure out in the future what's next. I would say I'm proud and satisfied of everything we accomplished this year. So I know when I give it my all, that's something to be proud of. And I've literally given everything I had this year, last year, the year before that, the year before that. Like, I don't leave anything half-assed, you know? I think I leave it with everything that I have.
Wow. So the very first thought I had, and Graziano, I wanted to confirm it with you, is in all the years that he has been playing, that is the first time I've ever heard him really acknowledge the idea that he might be done. And is there anything I'm missing?
No, I don't remember anything like this. He's talked about when he might be done, but it's always been something that's been in the future. This sounds like somebody who's contemplating not playing ever again and doing it seriously.
That's exactly right.
The family stuff is, I mean, that's a huge, when you start talking about, I want to be there for my family.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why did that jump out to you so much, Jeff?
Because I've had that conversation and it's as real as it gets. Like, when your wife looks at you and goes, I'm not comfortable watching you get hit like this. Like, we have life after football that is much more important to me and for our children than what's going on the football field. Those are real conversations. And one of the reasons I decided to retire. I mean, ultimately, my wife looked at me and was like, listen, the battering on your body, is your brain, your body, you know, it's just not worth it anymore. Like, we're all good and we are satisfied with the career. And he's right. It is a family decision. And when your wife's looking at you and having those conversations, it's no longer about how successful I was on the field. It's about life after football. Very few people have the opportunity to walk away from the game anyway, but to have it and your family having these discussions, it makes it. I was all about him coming back until I heard that.
Well, Jeff, it's such an earnest and serious. Why do you have this skeptical look on your? Who could be skeptical about what he just
Jeff
said?
Played for like 15 years. He stopped playing because he couldn't block anybody anymore. It wasn't because his wife said that you gotta go. It's because his kick slide was getting slow. That's what happened.
You're presupposing he ever could in the first place, but that's a whole different conversation. All right. No, we've got a serious topic going
shots
here.
All around
shots at the
you,
table.
I love you, I
hey,
love
this
you.
Is Studio Fox. This is Studio Fox right now.
Marcus, jump in here, because I find myself waking up this morning asking you the question, do you think Tom Brady has played his last game in the NFL?
I think he has, G. We had this conversation a few years ago. You remember you and I talking about Rob Gronkowski, and he was real reflectionary and reflective on his career. So not only that interview, I'm waiting to hear Tom Brady more as this offseason goes along. And then you – Brady is in that window now, right? He went to Tampa. He's proved that he could win a championship somewhere else. He proved that he could lead a team. Now you're in that window of when it's too long. Because like Jeff Saturday said, at some point, this game gonna get you. whether it's a knee, whether it's a bad hit, or whether it's something like that. And I'm sure as football players, we don't think about that when we're young in our careers or even in year 10, 11. But Brady is in year, what, 22, 23? And at some point, you got to start kind of putting this thing together and saying to yourself, you know, I've accomplished more than anybody that has ever accomplished in this game. I understand what I understand who I am and where my legacy lies in the game of football. Now it's about the legacy in which he talked about with his family, spending time with his children. So I always get a little I'm a little apprehensive to say guys are coming back when I start hearing reflectionary comments and you start talking about people. Other people being in that decision.
I think that's right. And, you know, and Dominique, work, by definition, is something that one must do. Mark Twain wrote that, as opposed to play, which is something that people want to do. Now, being a football player is a little different, right? I mean, playing is fun, and people, you guys like playing the game. But he has long since stopped needing to do this. So the question is just, when does he decide he doesn't want to anymore?
Right. Hold on. He stopped needing to work when he married Giselle. Well, let's make sure we're clear. Like, he earned everything he's got, but that's, from a financial perspective, he was done.
And he has made in his own career hundreds of millions of dollars.
I just had to put that out. Yeah. I had shots. I'm giving shots out, too. I'm just letting y'all know.
Everybody can get it.
I'm giving them out, too.
We're going to let Marcus slide on making up new words. I love what Marcus adds to the dictionary. It is outstanding.
What was my other word, Foxy?
It was 2 weeks ago you made up something. Dan tried to call you out. It was a great one, too.
We'll figure it out.
I'm feeling reflectionary right now in Tom Brady's career, and I do not want to sit here and be sad. Like, this feels like a funeral. Like, he's given us more than we deserve. We should celebrate that. And he used one word that in there that got my attention. I would have said, he's coming back. He's coming back. He's coming back. He said, satisfied.
Yeah. Yes.
I've never heard that word come out of this man's mouth. The guy with 7 Super Bowl rings, a bunch of MVPs, and everything you could ever want as a quarterback or as a player. He's never, ever seemed satisfied or said the word satisfied. He said, and he didn't say it about his whole life or his whole career, but he did say, I was satisfied with how this season went. That word just, I mean, that concept doesn't seem like something that's natural to
Tom Brady. Final word, Danny, go.
I mean, I don't know how he could be otherwise, given what he's accomplished in his career, obviously. I mean, if he wants to walk away, no one will begrudge him that. I think people are surprised it's happening this fast. He's always said, I'll play till I can't compete at a championship level anymore. And, you know, he's in the MVP conversation. His team was the 2 seed. He obviously can do that. But the family stuff, talking this openly about that. Look, I know it's the day after the season ended, et cetera. Things could change, but this is a real possibility.
Yeah. I interviewed his dad.
Yeah. I looked out there and saw that blood on Brady's mouth, and all I could think was Brady was thinking, what the hell I'm doing out here with that blood on my mouth, man?
His dad told me on the radio the day after they won the Super Bowl last year, I said to him, why does he keep going? And he said, because he loves it. Yeah. He loves the grind. Yeah. All the stuff that most of you guys hate, he loves. He loves the film. He loves the workout. He loves all that stuff.
But there
comes a time.
Somebody needs to tell him, don't blame it on your wife and kids. Because your wife and kids want you to stop playing 15 years ago, and you're still playing.
All right, so that's one quarterback whose future seems very much uncertain. Let's get to another. Saturday night was not the best of nights for Aaron Rodgers. For just the second time in his career, he failed to throw a touchdown pass in a playoff game. That happened once before in the 2010 NFC Championship game. That was a game Green Bay won. This one, not so much. Rodgers was also sacked 5 times, the 4th time in his career he's been sacked that many times in a playoff game. And so Green Bay goes out unceremoniously. Now, after 17 seasons, over 55,000 yards and 449 touchdowns, Rodgers' future in Green Bay is unclear. Here's the coach, Matt LaFleur, yesterday.
I sat down and talked to Aaron today for quite some time. You know, I think we're all a little numb to this situation right now. We're hopeful that he'll be back next year. I want to be respectful of his process, whatever he needs to go through to make the best decision for himself. And we would love for him to be a Packer and be a Packer until the day he decides to retire. There's no plan for a rebuild. When you get this close, obviously we won a lot of football games, and we know in order for there not to be that, he's got to be a part of this thing. So I don't think that's anybody's intention.
All right, so there's a lot to unpack there. Let's start with there may not be a plan for a rebuild, but that doesn't mean there isn't going to be one. Dan, explain what they're up against now.
Yeah, they're going to have to do something. I mean, the roster is going to look significantly different whether he comes back or not. They're projected to be about $44 million over what we expect the salary cap to be. Aaron Rodgers' his cap number is $46.8 million, and they would only save less than half of that, you see there, if they cut him or traded him. Devontae Adams needs a contract. He is a free agent. They're $44 million over without him on the team. Wow. And then you see the defensive players that obviously are eating up a lot of that cap. Teams can move money around. They can play with the salary cap. They can get under it. But it will not be easy for the Packers. Aaron Rodgers, in his post-game news conference on Saturday, listed a lot of this stuff. It's front of mind for him. He knows exactly what the Packers are up against, and that's why he said, I won't want to be part of a rebuild if I do come back. Marcus, he knows that's a possibility.
Marcus, for the second time today, I'm asking you almost exactly the same question. Have we seen the last of Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay?
I believe so, and I think Aaron Rodgers needs a new place, and Green Bay needs to start the next chapter of their franchise. And I get it. Like, nobody on any show shouldn't acknowledge that Aaron Rodgers is a phenomenal quarterback. That's not what we're discussing here. I'm tapped into the fact that we have these conversations. We're going to spend all offseason again talking about it. Well, y'all, because sometimes I'm going to say I'm not talking about it. But it is going to be, for me, a departure for both of these people so they can move forward. Like, this has been such a saga to end up with nothing. Like, we talked about this before the season. The Green Bay Packers, in order for all of this to make sense, were supposed to be playing this weekend and potentially playing in the Super Bowl. And I know that's hard. I know it's hard to get there. But if I would have bet any of y'all last week, regardless of what happened in this game, or any other Green Bay Packer fans that love Aaron Rodgers, or any Aaron Rodgers fans or that love him, are the Packers going to score 10 points in the divisional game? They'd have all said no, and they'd have all called me a hater. And that's exactly what happened in this football game. So I'm going to give it to Foxy, because when I say it, I'm hating. I want Foxy to break the football down.
What do you think?
Nah, I think you're right. The locker room is going to be very changeful. And Aaron Rodgers is not trying to participate in a changeful locker room. I think the Broncos are a destination that he's probably had his eye on. If you remember before the draft, it felt like he was trying to make that about him and force that play there. And that roster is one that's ready-made to make a championship run if you add a quarterback. And it also has an opening for a coach. So, like, if Aaron Rodgers wants to take this Tom Brady step where you kind of have more influence over an organization, that's a place there where they could call up Aaron and said, bring whoever you want to run this. You can run whatever. And in that case, though, he may not be able to bring Devontae Adams, which I think some people believe he wants to do.
Their offensive coordinator, the Packers' offensive coordinator, is a finalist for the Denver Broncos head coach job, Nathaniel Hackett. He's one of the guys getting a second look.
Jeff Saturday, why do you have that look on your face?
I just don't understand. Like, you take Aaron Rodgers out of Green Bay, they are out of the Super Bowl conversation. Believe what you want, bro. Like, you're telling me with Jordan Love that you're going to pick him for the Super Bowl?
Hold
on. Let me finish all the way.
Go ahead.
Because here is the issue. Every team minus five would want Aaron Rodgers as their quarterback. You may not like him. You might not. I get it, right? Like, people disagree with a lot of things he says. When the dude lines up, he is a dude. And that people act like he is not a significant difference maker. He makes every team he walks on a contender. The Packers will not be a contender without Aaron Rodgers. And I saw Za'Darius Smith. I saw Preston Smith. If you don't think they can figure out the cap to keep Devontae Adams and Aaron Rodgers together, don't fool yourself. That thing can happen in a hurry. So when I look at this football team and what they're asking to do, if Green Bay wants to stay a contender, they'll keep Aaron Rodgers. They'll keep pushing forward. And let me tell you something. You're going to go to Denver and go play Patrick Mahomes twice a year and think you have a better chance of getting to the playoff or an easier route to get to the playoff than if you stayed in Green Bay where half the coaches are already fired and you play the Detroit Lions twice a year? I'm letting all y'all know, dude, y'all all high. Stay in Green Bay.
It's too early.
It's better for you and it's better for the Packers football. And understand what that is.
All right, let me leave it there a minute. We're going to come back to this
at least once.
Please. Yeah, we're coming back.
Come
I
on,
promise.
Please, let's Ragu, come back
I
today.
Promise. We are flying today. Coming up, Jerry Jones not exactly giving Mike McCarthy a ringing endorsement. Is there a very obvious next step this team could take. We're taking you there. Plus, Joe Burrow was Joe Cool Saturday in Tennessee. But something happened that has both Marcus and Jeff fired up. And you'll hear what it was next. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each one-ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more. It is a Tuesday, which means it's time for Overreactions with Dan Graziano. I'll say something that I think people are generally saying, and then, Dan, you tell us if that thing is an overreaction. So if someone were to say the Chiefs are clearly the Super Bowl favorites now, is that an overreaction?
No. After what they did to Buffalo on Sunday, I mean, Patrick Mahomes looked unstoppable, looked like the old unstoppable Patrick Mahomes. I would have said whoever won that game was the favorite to win the Super Bowl. The way both teams played, support that. I think at this point, betting against the Chiefs is folly.
Fair enough. They get the Bengals this weekend. Next, if someone were to say, well, the 49ers can't possibly beat the Rams a third time this year, would that be an overreaction?
Yes, the 49ers own the Rams. They've beaten them 6 times in a row, and including in Week 18 to get into the playoffs. Coming back from 17-3 down at the half, the 49ers are an incredibly tough team for the Rams to play. The Rams know this. They are absolutely capable of beating them and advancing to the Super Bowl for the second time in 3 years.
All right, and then there's one more, because I mentioned Cincinnati is going up against Kansas City this week. That brings us to Joe Burrow. People are falling in love with Joe Burrow.
Yeah.
Someone were to say he is already a top 5 quarterback in the NFL. Would that be an overreaction?
I still think it is. I understand the case being made and the way he played down the stretch and the fact that he's still playing when a lot of guys that you would put in the top 5 are not. That all matters. But I still think we're at a point where this is a young player who still hasn't played 2 full seasons and is growing, which is exciting, by the way. The idea that he can get better than he already is right now. But no, what he's doing is amazing. I can't put him in my top 5.
And that said, not only is it hard to breathe when you watch him be so spectacular, but it's also hard to watch because at one of these points, they're going to get him destroyed.
Yes.
And that brings us to an emergency meeting of the security crew. For those of you who are regulars with us on Tuesdays, you know that in our second hour, Marcus brings the security. But today, and usually the first hour is for Jeff's pancakes.
That's right.
And Jeff is very put off by this.
Very.
You should know, Swagoo.
Very.
But Swagoo, when the quarterback gets sacked 9 times, it feels like we need an emergency edition.
Listen, Danico Autry said, "You don't have security, Joe Burrow." Jeffrey Simmons said, "You don't have security, Joe Burrow." Landry said, "You don't have security, Joe Burrow," to the tune of 9 sacks. See, this is one of those situations, fellas, where the head management, the owner of whatever club, needs to sell the club. He cannot identify how to keep his place safe. This is not about the players that's trying to protect Joe Burrow. This is about the people that hired these players. This goes beyond the guys that were on the field. So everybody, get a spot in the club. Foxy, you know how it go. Jeff, you know how it go after you won your Super Bowl. You just walk up to the door to any club in that city and say, it's 53 of us. We need 9 sections. And that's what the Tennessee Titans did. They got 9 sections. They got bottle service. All of them little five things was going crazy over the club and all of that. But at the end of the night, Jeff, they tried to holler at the lady, and she would not be with them because Joe Burrow said she mine.
That's well done. We'll let Jeff rebut a little bit later, but let's ask a serious question here. I mean, as an offensive lineman, as you are watching that, what's going through your mind?
Pain. Brutal. It's a freaking nightmare. It is brutal. Like literally, as an offensive lineman, you're watching this thing, and I'm thinking, how? Like, how is this possible? I played with two Hall of Famers. One's in, one will be in. These dudes would have broken every tablet. Every cooler on the sideline would have been dumped over. Offensive line coach would have been fired on the sideline. There's like none. Like they would have lost their mind. I do not understand. And listen, he's already been broken. Like that. Yeah. Green was just like, when is it? He's already been broken one time.
That's right.
This is on the men. This is on the men, and we still haven't gotten.
It's not just on the offensive linemen. Like, we talked about it earlier in the meeting, Jeff. Yeah. You were pointing out they are still doing, like, long developing plays, dropping back. And also, Joe Burrow is holding on to the ball forever. Hembo sent me the stat before the show. 40 of his 62 sacks came after 4 seconds.
I like that.
That's outrageous.
Yeah. Now, see, what I appreciate about you is your growth on this show. And I feel like I'm a large part of that.
You are.
So what I will say is you are 100% right on not only the play calling, but the way that he holds on to the ball in the pocket. So it's a combination of all three. However, when he just brought the security, about the first 4 or 5.
That one right there. Oh, yeah. Not
like,
that one.
Like, they had a whole lot.
It wasn't 4 seconds.
I'm not sure who's holding the clock on that one. If that one qualifies, but that is if he's running an S route behind it and it takes 4 seconds to get run down, you can't really qualify that one.
That one had to bring down the average. but a serious question. It really is almost the perfect storm. Their scheme seems to be a lot of those longer developing routes. He's a young quarterback who wants to make plays, who is still holding onto the ball, and the offensive line generally is terrible.
Correct.
So, regardless of what happens this weekend, they need to spend their entire offseason remaking their protection of him, yes?
I mean, they should have done it last year.
Okay.
I think that's absolutely number one priority for them. There are only so many quarterbacks like this in the league.
Exactly.
Please protect him. Right. Everyone in the rest of the league is looking at them with this Ferrari and, like, wash it every now and then.
Right.
Get it an oil change.
Right.
Like, show some care and respect for this jewel that you have.
Buy a garage.
Yeah. Do something to protect
the biggest indictment on this thing.
They putting that regular unleaded in the Lambo. They got that regular unleaded in the Lambo, man.
I played with Tom Moore, who was coached forever, right? I mean, Coach Terry Bradshaw in his 20s. But this dude was still on the sideline being like, 1, 2, 3, throw it away! Throw it away! You're going to get carried off boots first to Peyton Manning. And it is ingrained in my brain. Whoever is his QB coach needs to be saying that, because in reality, you can do a lot to protect yourself.
Okay.
Throw it away. Throw it away, Tom Moore. I still love you, my man.
As we can, he's still on the sideline.
Oh, yeah,
Tampa. Coming up, the disaster in Big D. Is there a solution sitting right in front of Jerry's face? We'll tell you what it is. Plus, we have large men throwing other large men to the ground.
Yes,
Jeff Saturday is serving up a playoff edition. A heaping helping of pancakes are coming up next. Get up on ESPN.
Look at that.
Smell like money.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than 1 rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
We are back on a very busy morning on Get Up. Graziano, let's run the hurry up. A bunch of coaching news out there. What do we have?
You're still waiting for somebody to hire a coach. The Chicago Bears have talked to a lot of people. You see Brian Flores there, Jim Caldwell going in for a second interview this week. They've talked to Dan Quinn, as has the whole world. So they're down to the point where they're getting guys in for second interviews, and they could make a decision on this fairly soon. I think someone's going to hire a coach at some point this week. Speaking of Dan Quinn, they apparently passed a rule that said you have to interview Dan Quinn if you have a head coach over. The Giants interviewed him yesterday. Look, he's a hot candidate. There's a lot of things to like about Dan Quinn. He looks like he's a finalist for the Denver Broncos job. It may be that he has options. The Giants have some other people coming in this week. Brian Daboll, the Bills offensive coordinator, coming in for a second interview today, and they have their eye on Brian Flores, the former Miami coach, as well. He's a possibility there. And then there's this Sean Payton situation, which Saints owner Gail Benson addressed yesterday and saying they don't really know what he's going to do, and then that she hopes that he tells them soon. It's possible Payton doesn't coach the Saints next year, and I think this is something that's sort of sneaking up on a lot of people. I know he's had interest from television networks about potential jobs there. Would he go to another team? We don't know that yet, but there's certainly some intriguing possibilities out there that have past connections.
Well, and if you know me, you'll know it's no surprise that one of those places I'm considering is Dallas. And, you know, because this happened Friday later in the day, we have not yet had a chance on this program to address what Jerry Jones said on Friday, in which he opened the door for a potential coaching change still to come. Listen.
Now, let me be real clear. Mm-hmm. One of the pet peeves I have is that I don't like this. Well, we've got to work on this in the offseason. We've got to work on this. I want those things recognized and addressed after we play Tampa, after the first game, or after we play the sixth game. I don't want to wait until we're sitting here with no season left to address these things we're doing or not doing. But the ultimate decision on these coaches or in anywhere around here is one that I have to make.
Okay, so, I mean, that changed the dynamic a good deal. And then we had the greatest football weekend of all time, and everyone kind of forgot about it. But I'm sure Marcus Spears has not. So, Marcus, I'm putting two and two together, and I'm saying, hey, Sean Payton's taking a lot of time to make up his mind, and Jerry Jones is still talking about making a coaching change to my beloved former Cowboy friend. How's that sound to you, Swagoo?
Oh, I would love Sean Payton to be the coach for the Dallas Cowboys. Let me say that. And there's a connection, obviously. I know you guys know it. Sean Payton was the OC when I was there with Bill Parcells when they drafted me. So there's familiarity there. But ultimately, it's about if Jerry hires anybody, are you going to give them full capacity to do what they need to do as a head coach? And the decision-making as far as roster, as far as what they want to do schematically, how they want to build and approach this team. That's what it's about. Like, the common denominator between Dallas Cowboys losing is they've had a lot of quarterbacks, a lot of players, a lot of coaches. Jerry Jones is still there, okay? And the one thing you have to pay attention to in this particular situation is Jerry is sitting there saying to himself, I don't know if my coach is good enough to adjust. What are we talking about? Like, the fact that he said he wanted those things corrected before the season was over, you literally just questioned if your coach can fix things during the season. Mm-hmm. If they put on a resume a coach's job, that is the first thing that they need to put at the top of the thing. We correct things in real time. Fellas, think about this. Y'all know I can go on a rant about the Cowboys. The Dallas Cowboys don't know if they like their coach. The Cincinnati Bengals are about to go to the AFC Championship with a second-year quarterback.
It's exactly right. And you know what? The point was made earlier in our meeting today, Jeff, I think it was you, who said if he was going to get rid of Mike McCarthy for Dan Quinn, he would have done it already.
Absolutely.
Everyone knows Dan Graziano is over here making jokes about how Quinn's getting an interview everywhere.
Yeah.
If he was dead set on keeping Quinn,
would have happened.
That's a move that could have already happened. This becomes an interesting wild card.
Absolutely, because I think it would have been done. I think Dan Quinn would be head coach if that was what Jerry Jones wants to do. I think Sean Payton makes more sense to Jerry because of the offense –
and what he wants from all the money he's put on the offense. You think about Dak. You think about the line. You think about Amari Cooper. You think about Zeke. Like, he wants to see where his investment has been placed. He wants to see a return on investment. That's what he wants. And one thing you can say about Sean Payton, he gets the most out of his guys, whether it was Drew Brees, any other quarterback he's brought. He continues to win. He finds ways to get him protected. He finds ways to develop receivers on the outside. So when you're thinking about Sean Payton, I think that's what's intriguing to Jerry Jones. As you brought in Mike McCarthy, he's an offensive-minded guy. You had Kellen Moore, offensive-minded guy, still not getting what you want. Sean Payton has gotten results, and I think that's why it would be – I don't think Jerry's going to make a splash for a defensive guy, and I know he would have done it if it was Dan Quinn. But when you're thinking about Sean Payton, that's why this is interesting for me.
If I'm a player in that locker room, specifically a quarterback in that locker room, I'm at Jerry's front door right now. Please, please, please.
Mr. Jones.
Make this happen.
Yes, sir.
Because Sean Payton, to your point, he's made every quarterback that he's had better. He's made their jobs easier. He has some fools out here thinking Taysom Hill could play quarterback because he's that damn good of a quarterback coach. Yeah. So absolutely, if they can make that move, no matter how good or bad Mike McCarthy was last year, I think Sean Payton is an upgrade. And I think that it must be on the table because I don't know why else Jerry Jones would come out at this point and say, like, that's some really cutting criticism that he had. Yeah, and it's pretty direct.
Absolutely.
Saying, I don't want to fix like that is speaking directly to things that Mike McCarthy has said. He's calling the man out.
And Swagoo, I know that maybe this is overstating one circumstance, but it is purely coincidental that a week ago the Cowboys lost because they couldn't run a second play in 14 seconds. Oh. And then Sunday, Kansas City runs three plays in 13 seconds. Now, I understand they had timeouts left. I understand it's not apples to apples. But Marcus, I mean, it just sat there on his television right in front of him. That couldn't have worked well in Mike McCarthy's favor, yes?
No, it couldn't have worked well. And then, too, gee, when you think about it, to the point of what Jerry just said, and y'all told me during the year, ain't this what we talked about, like week four of the season? Clock management, situational things that were transpiring in Dallas. And I was like, and I was stupid. It wasn't about the Dallas Cowboys. I was giving validity to the fact that Mike McCarthy has coached in this league for a long time. And if we see the problems, he got to see them. He there every day. But the same thing, like I said after that game, everything that we talked about this season with the Dallas Cowboys came down to that one moment right there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a quick final thought.
The worst thing for coaches are owners being able to watch these games without having distraction watching their own team. Because these owners are watching and they're on Twitter like, my team don't look like this.
No.
I'm gonna fix this. Jerry has some time to let that thing marinate. Breaking people's hearts.
Our next stop is a good one. It is time for the pancakes.
Set him down is a keeper. That is a Tuesday staple.
Get some of this. Get some of that. Throw him out the club. Swagoo, throw him out the club. You see him? One pancake, two pancakes, three pancakes. Ooh.
And there is something I am delighted to say today for the first time, and that is that Sat 'em Down is brought to you.
What?
IHOP.
Shade of my name.
Let's go.
We made it. Why are we made it? That's what I'm saying about IHOP. You didn't think we're making pancakes. That's what I'm talking about. Swagoo, you ain't got nothing on that, baby.
Maple
no
syrup.
Thank you.
Drizzle that syrup.
They better send you a check.
Let's see what we're all about. We're going to give it to a little man first, Cooper Kupp. Let me show you what Cooper Kupp does when you try to sneak through the back door. Devin White, no, sir. Don't get in there. Don't you mind your business. Stay outside. Little man taking on a little bigger man. That's why we're only giving him one pancake. But that is nasty. You know Devin White got hit was like, dang, that dude got me. Cooper Kupp breaking all the wide receiver rule. I mean, breaking all the wide receiver highlights. That's the best one I've seen. Check that little man and put him down.
Man,
one
my
pancake
boy, D-White
for Cooper
like that.
Kupp. That is thinking
about. Oh, my
Roger
God.
Saffo, he's a repeat offender. Yes, he is. And look at this nasty block. Oh, my goodness. Hey, if you're the linebacker and the defense line goes, why weren't you there? I didn't see it either, man. I don't know what happened. Roger Saffo just getting a running start and laying hat on people. That is what I'm talking about. Two pancakes, because that's a big man on a decently sized big man.
Two
put him down. Two pancakes for that. I see you, Saffo. And then finally, I mean, this is it. This is it. Hey, I tell you all the time, offensive line, we can do everything you can do, only better. Let's put Trent Williams at basically a fullback.
God.
Oh,
no.
One? Are you serious? Are you? Hey, I had 1 million tweets about this one hit right here, and it should have gotten that many. Because my man D. Cleveland, look at this right here. There should be a rule against it. There really should be a rule against it. Change something. We talk about overtime rules. Change that rule. Woo. Three pancakes from Lamar Trent Williams lay in half.
Oh! The first thing I did when that play happened was text Jeff Saturday and say, please, Marcus, your reaction to what Trent Williams did on that play.
He ain't supposed to be able to do that, y'all. He ain't supposed to be able to do that.
Kind of monotonous.
He ain't supposed to be able to do that.
Welcome to the party.
They put a damn offensive tackle in jet sweep motion.
Marcus will get his revenge a little later. In the meantime, coming up, he lost the game, but he won everyone's respect. Is Josh Allen now the best in the sport? Wait till you hear the answers as we roll on. It's Get Up on ESPN.
Oh, yeah. That's what I'm talking about. That's the Trent Williams when all broke up. They got all broke up. That's why those people's bones.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, tennis, anyone. We had controversy in the match of the night at the Australian Open. You got Rafa Nadal. He's taking on a Canadian, Denis Shapovalov. And Nadal won the first set. Then Shapovalov did not like how long it took him to come back for the second. Listen to this.
You started the clock so long ago, he's still not ready to play. Yeah. You got to phone him.
No, you get it because you come to talk to me. You came to talk to me.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, I'm not kidding.
You guys are all corrupt.
You guys are all corrupt, he says. And then he and Nadal have some words. And then it gets even more interesting. Nadal wins the first two sets, but in the third, Shapovalov has a set point. And here's a backhand cross-court winner, and he takes that 6-4. Now to the fourth we go. Shapovalov leading 5-3, and he's in the near court, and that's a big forehand winner. Just like that, we're even two sets apiece. Nadal goes to the locker room for a medical check. Now we're in the fifth. This is the first game, and look at the hands on Rafa Nadal. Oh, that's so good. He gets the early hold, and then later it is Nadal with his chance to put it away, serving at match point up 5-3. He's in the near court, and this is how it ends. That is wide, and it's Nadal who wins. Look at the frustration from Shapovalov. After the match is over, he loses 6-3 in the fifth to Nadal, and the Australian Open rolls on down under with more quarterfinal coverage on ESPN2 and the app tonight, 9 Eastern. Every point of every match can also be seen live on ESPN+. All right, back to the football. Let's do some divisional round superlatives. Jeff, coming up, maybe the greatest weekend ever. Who impressed you the most?
Cooper Kupp. Listen, I just showed you the block that he had against White, and then the plays to end this game. I mean, he makes this catch with a nasty route to get it, and then we see the massive play he has. I mean, good. Great.
Lord, you felt that, didn't you?
Oh, yeah.
You felt it. ACL felt it. I just tore it through my eyes.
Everything felt it. And then this, you know, it's the play of the year for the Rams to run right down the middle of the field, make this catch. They get a win. You got to give it to Cooper Kupp. Had another incredible game. By the way, everybody should be on alert. He's broken every receiver record known to man. Yeah. Probably cover him.
But no covering him on the biggest play of the game. Graz, what was your biggest disappointment?
I think if you get 9 sacks and don't win, that's got to be disappointing. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, you know, the Titans turned it over 3 times. Ryan Tannehill facing the defense in the locker room after the game trying to explain why you got 9 sacks and couldn't win the game. That had to be pretty difficult. I think the Titans are feeling like they missed a big opportunity when they're waking up this week.
No question about it. And then Dominique, hard to choose one. What was your favorite moment or play?
I mean, the entire fourth quarter in overtime of this game right here between the Bills and the Chiefs. Josh Allen was incredible, and I know everyone's been saying that they didn't deserve to lose, but they didn't. They lost, but they didn't deserve to lose. 4 touchdowns to Gabriel Davis. Like, this game was outrageous. And I think the play I was most impressed by was Josh Allen breaking a bunch of tackles and then throwing it away. Yeah. Like, that's the maturity that Josh Allen has right now. The guy's a special player. He's going to be here for a long time.
Look, this postseason, he was as good as you could be. He became the first quarterback in postseason history to throw at least four touchdowns and no picks in back-to-back games. And he's going home. I mean, you look at the numbers, you look at the company that he's keeping, all the rest of the people on that screen at least made the Super Bowl in the years that they did this stuff, and he did not. And I think that's the right way to put this. I think this has been coming. Right? I mean, Josh Allen came in and he had a lot of potential and they developed him really well. And it got to a point where I'll just say for myself, I won't put it words in anyone else's mouth. I thought he's a really good player. Mm. I was wrong. He's way better than I have given him credit for being. He right now he's as good as anybody. He may be on the verge of being the best player in the whole league.
They did the thing that all the coaches say that they're going to do and want to do.
That's right.
It's turned a project into a Pro Bowler, a potential perennial all-pro type player. They did it because I remember when he was drafted, I was like, he's not good. Then I watched the first couple seasons, like, yep, he's not good. Then he had that great MVP level season, and I was like, man, this guy's pretty good. And now it's like, oh, is he the best? Like, the distance that he's traveled, I don't think anyone has ever gotten that much better in that short of time. It's a credit to him, his self-awareness, and the team, the people there that are building around him and building him up.
But the reason that his offensive coordinator is about to be a head coach somewhere, it's an organizational success story.
Absolutely, and he's worked his craft. And to your point, he has found ways to get better each season. He'll continue to do that. But when you watch him in the biggest moments, the game is slow for him. And whether that's pulling the ball down, whether it's a call design run, or whether it's throwing the right route and against the right coverage, this guy has developed every facet of his game, and it's so impressive when you see somebody who's really trained and worked his craft get that much better. It is special.
You mentioned the offensive coordinator, Brian Daboll. I've talked to Josh Allen about this, and he respects the importance of that continuity on the coaching staff. He has had the same offensive coordinator all 4 years he's been in the league. He's had the same quarterbacks coach, Ken Dorsey, for the last three. That is important, and he knows the importance of it, but you're right. Brian Daboll could get a head coaching job. Their assistant GM is now the GM of the Giants. The defensive coordinator is going on head coach interviews. Yeah. Buffalo has built something special that people want a part of, and Josh Allen is sort of the avatar of this. He did literally everything right on Sunday except call heads. If he calls heads, we're sitting here saying, can anybody beat the Bills the rest of the way?
And maybe the other thing he could have done was say to his coach, hey, we should squib kick this with 13 seconds left. And the reason is you don't know that you get that opportunity back.
Right.
You know, because you are maybe too. I'm old enough to remember when Dan Marino played in the Super Bowl his second year.
Right.
And if I had told you then he's never getting back there, you would have laughed me out of the room.
Right.
These things are not guaranteed.
Absolutely.
The coaching staff is going to break up. This was a golden opportunity with a quarterback playing better than anyone in the entire sport. And to let it get away, that is one you never get over unless you finally win the thing.
He gave you the lead with
13 seconds left.
Like, what else can you do?
You know what happened? With 13 seconds left in the lead, Mike McCarthy said, this game's over.
I did too. Like, anybody with good sense thought it was over.
This is as brutal as it gets.
Yeah, and McCarthy would have run quarterback draw. One way or another, we all know how it turned out. Josh Allen, he played spectacularly. All right, let's go on the clock here. There's so many things we don't have time to get to, so let's try and give you 30 seconds. Dominique, a lot of people questioning just how good the 49er quarterback Jimmy Garoppolo is. 30 seconds. Can they win the Super Bowl with him at QB?
At backup QB. Yeah, I think they need to go Trey Lance. And I know that it's a little bit off the beaten path, but the reason why you go with a quarterback like Jimmy Garoppolo is because he protects you from the low lows. Like you say, I want this veteran guy because he will not have these awful plays, and he may not give me the high-end performance that I want, but he won't have the awful turnovers and the bad decisions in big moments. Jimmy Garoppolo is missing important passes in big moments, so he's not giving you those high-end plays, and he is also desperately trying to throw the ball to the other team every single week. So a young guy can do that too and potentially have the high-end ability to score. I know it's crazy. I got to be honest. I wouldn't have the heart to do it if I was Kyle Shanahan, but it's the truth.
Julian, I'm calling an audible here. I'm calling off the rest of the on the
thank
clock.
You.
I apologize.
Thank
I
you.
For whatever work was
Dominique,
done.
Dominique, you are high. And you have lost your freaking mind.
Nice
are you kidding me?
The board
you
going to
start
hitting
Trey Lance over over Jimmy G. Let me just, I love smart people. You love smart. Himbo's a really smart guy. Let me tell you what the stats that Himbo, and you don't love stats. I'm going to give you some stats.
You hate numbers.
They led the NFL in yards per play this season. He led the NFL in yards per completion this season. You talk about the interceptions, I get it. Did he have some try to give aways? Absolutely. He also makes throws. He also makes throws against the Rams that win the game, against the Packers that win the game. He finds Deebo Samuel. He finds ways to win games. Whatever you're talking about, to say I'm going to bring in Trey Lance, who we haven't seen do anything when Jimmy G has taken them to the Super Bowl.
I'll give you the room to beat me up. I'll give you the room to beat me up and everyone at the table to beat me up.
I hope so.
I understand that it sounds a little wild, but I got one question for all of you. Have you watched the last two playoff games?
No. Yes.
Absolutely.
The last three
Case closed.
I mean, they've won three consecutive elimination games on the road. Their quarterback in those games has thrown one touchdown and four interceptions.
And so Dominique's
closed.
Point, it could be a lot more than four.
Yeah.
I mean, there were a couple of those sideline throws in the game the other night that just sat there forever and stayed in the air. And the Packer defender
Come on up here with me, Graziano.
He could have caught a touchdown.
Get high with me. Let's get up here together.
Is Monday Dan here? Are we firing somebody without knowing who to hire? Because you got to hire somebody. Like you might not like what's in the chair, but there's got to be somebody else to replace them.
That's the problem. If Trey Lance was ready to play, he'd be playing.
Thank you.
They want to put Trey Lance in there when he's ready. That's why they traded up to draft him.
That decision was made when Jimmy Garoppolo was playing better. My point is, you're rolling dice out there with Jimmy Garoppolo, but those die only have ones and twos on them.
Puff,
at least you put Trey Lance out there, and it might be a six on there.
I'm not giving it to you.
You don't deserve it. No. None for you.
If they had drafted Mac Jones, he would be their quarterback right now. Anyone disagree with that?
Yeah, but
he would be their quarterback.
Right.
All right, going to a break. If you don't think Tom Brady was serious about retiring, think again. You need to hear what he said yesterday, and you will next.